Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
We can all believe what we believe. Peacefully agree, disagree.
Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here with Melissa Lucas, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. Catch us here every Tuesday at 10 instead of 9 a.m. due to daylight savings. That's until spring. Listen, guys and girls, today we face ever-rising costs of essential goods and services that make it difficult for many just to keep their heads above water and causing some to make hard choices when it comes to budgeting every day. Electricity, water, gas, and other utility costs have been on the rise for years. Our president is making progress in some areas regarding costs, but even the most powerful man in the most prosperous nation can only do so much. The market prices of goods and services are driven by forces that cannot be controlled by the stroke of a pen. We face a future where it seems that income will not keep up with expenses for many Americans, and solutions seem very hard to find at this time. Maybe together, a united government striving to serve the people, not the party, can find common ground to help grow our economy and lower costs. We will be discussing the cost of electricity, water, phone, gas, etc., and oversight of the government with our in-studio guests and with the help from our loyal listeners. Melissa, how about letting our listeners know about our guest today, the staff that makes this show happen, and let our listeners know how to reach out to us on KNTR Talk Radio, Common Ground, featured here every Tuesday.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, everyone. First thing I'm going to do is a quick shout-out to our sponsors. Thank you guys so much. Blonzy Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Martin Swanee, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia, Neat Pool and Supply. And remember, if you're traveling through the tri-state, you can listen on 106.3 in Golden Valley and Kingman, 106.5 in Laughlin, Bullhead, and Mojave Valley Needles, and 106.7 right here live in Lake Havasu City. All right, we've got Red Bull Ronnie, our co-creator, in the house, Marissa June, our producer, and Paul Lavoie, our operations manager, is here as well. You can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-857-5687. Sorry, call in at 928-854-5687 or KNTR. So for our guest today, we have Derek Espadas. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And you have a little bit of expertise in the area that we're going to be discussing today, which is the power situation. So tell me about your experience in that area.
So I am running for the Corporation Commission, but currently I advocate a lot in the Tucson area. By advocate, I mean be a big pain for our electric company out there, which we have the same electric company.
You have Unisource out there?
We have Tucson Electric Power, but they're the same...
Same family.
Same family.
So what does the commissioner do? What is your duties?
So the Corporation Commission is an interesting animal. So it regulates utilities. It regulates railroad safety.
Okay.
And whenever you start a business and start an LLC, you file with the Corporation Commission.
Mm-hmm.
So it does a lot of different things, but the main thing that we're going to be talking about today is the regulation of power rates, because I know in our area they're looking for a 14% increase. In Phoenix with APS, they're looking for a 14% increase.
Well, I'm glad you brought up businesses and power bill, because I happen to have a business or two, and I brought my power bill with me, which I just got. It's my most current power bill.
And it's really easy to read, right? Like they make it very straightforward.
It is not very easy to read.
I think sarcasm is the appropriate word.
I I talked to our operations manager before the show. He's more versed in the verbiage than I am on the back.
Yeah.
So, but what I can see is my base. So, power supply charges. So this is for the month of October. My basic power supply charge is $1,587.52. Okay, that's my basic charge.
I'm trying to maintain appropriate language right now.
My bill, after all of your taxes and fees are added, is $4,032.97.
Well,
so, and it's all right here in paper for you guys
all,
to see.
We all get those bills, but hold on, I'm going to interrupt you just for a second. We all have different varying degrees.
Yes.
There's different levels and tiers. I was discussing that before the show started. I believe that we have five different tiers of billing depending on the usage.
Right.
So you're at the top tier. You're one of the top tier.
You
users.
Think?
So they beat
my little restaurant here.
So they beat. So they beat the crap out of you on those fees. You're on the top, probably the top tier, or someone who's using $200 a month is going to be on the lowest tier.
Okay. Well, if you look at all the surcharges, which are very, very extensive here, we have a renewable energy standard tariff charge for $238. We've got a DMS surcharge for $34.05, some LFCREE fees, two of those. One of them is $26.35, one of them is $12.11. What is an LFCREE?
It is a regulatory, I can't tell you directly because, what is that? But it is a regulatory fee. Where exactly it goes, I do not know.
Well, we the people want to know that.
Right?
Yeah, there's a demand charge. So the demand charge is $861, a delivery charge of $114, a cost transmission per something delivery fee $12.33, a basic meter charge of $100. It's they're feeing and taxing me to death.
Yeah.
To death.
I agree. And especially so if we're talking about small business restaurants, again with the looking to increase things by 14%, I've worked in the restaurant industry and I've talked to restaurant owners. A 14% increase in your power bill is gonna kill your margins.
Do you know how many chicken fried steaks I have to sell
exactly.
right now?
Yeah.
This power bill is a mortgage. And this is a nice one. You should have seen my one in August. It was nearly $7,000.
So here's the thing. You elaborated on your personal bill.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us face similar situations at varying levels. The reason why we're having this discussion today is to look for solutions and look for oversight.
Right.
We want to know the Corporation Commission is duty-bound to oversee, to act as in legislature, to enact codes and to curtail any onerous charges done by the utility companies, basically as a backstop against usury. So I believe we have a text.
Yes, I do have a text here. It says, the power company is taking advantage of small businesses. Who the hell regulates them?
So
would that be you, right?
Not there yet. But
we're not doing candidacy here.
We're
not talking about that. We're talking about the commission as a whole.
So they're the ones. That's the answer to the question, though,
that,
right?
So the Corporation Commission is a five-person court. So if a power company wants to increase your rates, they have to get permission. They have to file court papers. Sometimes, though, it's very simple. Sahurita Power just filed, we're not going to make our revenue targets, and that got approved. So
I have another question about the 14% thing that's being proposed. So is that 14% off of my $1,500 basic use, or is that 14% off of my $4,000 bill?
14% on your unit of usage.
Your kilowatt hour.
On the 1,500.
Which I was just kind of researching before my trip up here. Parker did a school override, budget override, and I'm an accountant by trade. I did a little calculation. If that 14% gets accepted, you're looking for each school district to have to pay an additional $1 million a year.
Oh, wow.
So that override goes away.
Yeah. Where's the money going to come from, and where's it all going?
It goes to the power companies.
So my research dictates that the power companies are having incredible cost increases as well. I'm not fighting for or advocating the increase of prices going to the end user, mm-hmm. but at the same time, as a business person, as you well know,
right.
as costs go up, you have to raise your prices, and that's just the bottom line.
And AI, there's going to be more demand.
Well, that's a whole other issue we've already had.
That's probably another 3 weeks of show there.
So
that's,
when there's more demand, then there's cost goes up, supply and demand.
Not only that, but there's going to be more demand, and as you mentioned, different tiers. There's not a different tier for data centers, and they use so much.
Wait, they don't have. They're not the top tier? Well, how can I be a I'm in the wrong business.
Well, yeah, do you have $3 trillion to throw around? So here
I was born in the wrong family.
You're going to have to sell 3 trillion chicken fried steaks.
So here's some back into a previous show that we did on AI. Mm-hmm. If you have a data center that's using 500 megawatts of power every year, the consumption of the 150 plus data centers is consuming worldwide north of 20% of the gross production of energy in the world is being used. That's 1/5 of every kilowatt that's produced in the world is being used for AI right now. So when you get a proposed 14% increase, it's due to the fact that they have to purchase their energy. These energy companies don't necessarily generate power.
Shouldn't the AI pay their fair share then? Like the bazillionaires?
I'm not going to argue with you on that. I'm essentially what's happening. So I'm going to talk a lot about TEP because they are similar, but that's where a lot of my advocacy comes
TEP,
from.
TEP, what does that stand
Tucson
for?
Tucson Electric Power.
Okay.
Which is the same company that you have here.
Unisource.
Yes. So they made a profit. I'm a business owner. I'm pro-profit for the electric companies. But they made $288 million profit. So, yes, they have rising costs. But they're doing. I'm not. It's hard for me to feel bad for them with that bottom line when you're having to talk about like raising prices for the community, for where schools are having to talk about whatever they have to do to make stuff happen, just to keep the lights on. 288.
Okay,
so
I understand your the look on your face tells it all that you're disgusted with that, and I get that. But you have to understand something.
Yeah.
With the increase in demand, especially with AI in the forefront, how much money do you think these utility companies are going to have to spend for infrastructure upgrades and expansion to be able to service the needs of the community?
So
you have to take both sides here.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much does it cost to create a generating plant?
So this is actually where I have tremendous issue with what needs to be done. Because the data centers are running on a similar tier as your restaurant, essentially what's going to happen is we're socializing the costs. You're paying for the costs. You're paying for the costs. You're paying for the costs.
I don't pay my bill.
It's usually my line. I usually say I'm a tax accountant, so I don't pay taxes.
So they're spreading the love around is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Well, think about this, though. In reference to a 14% increase, which might directly affect businesses like yours, Melissa, mm-hmm. businesses like mine. I'm also a pro-business individual. I'm in business. But I also understand the overwhelming demand and need for energy in our country. And it costs money to produce energy.
Right.
And so $288 million seems like an incredible amount of money.
Profit. So after they've done all their infrastructure, after they've paid, because you're right, the utility company, they do produce their own energy, but mainly they act more like brokers.
They buy it.
They're going and searching.
It's a commodity.
Is there such thing as a non-profit energy company?
SRP
because
runs as one.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
So, you know, as we were talking, you know, we're trying to find solutions. That's a potential solution. So most states, Arizona is different.
Give it back to the people. That's extra.
Most states run a public power company.
We'll take this back up after a break. I think we're going on a break. In our next segment, we'll get right back into it here on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the Free. Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. You can text in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-KNTR. Marissa, what do you got for us?
All right, going to give a quick shout-out to our sponsors that makes this show possible, starting with Blonzy Steakhouse. Mouth-watering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blonzy's is where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Second, we have Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. They're the small-town store with the biggest auto and hardware selection in the area. Find what you want online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in-store today, just off Bowie Road in Golden Valley. And lastly for this break, we have Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals, it's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, thrifting with a purpose.
Thank you, Marissa.
All right, back to you guys.
All right, I got a text in here. It says, in defense of all utilities, a rate case is usually a last resort because of legal costs involved.
A rate case or increase?
They call it a rate case.
This was a rate case?
A rate case, and that means increase?
A rate case, you're having to file your case with the court.
I get it. Okay.
Okay. So because of the legal costs involved and the time it takes to go into effect, because of that time and cost, utilities will have other fees that can be tacked on because they're not directly related to the rates.
So it's a backdoor, basically.
That, and I just, so in the case of Tucson Electric Power, this is the second year that they're doing a rate increase. One of the pushbacks I mentioned with them is, well, maybe you need to improve your operations so that you don't have to charge more. And their argument is they're doing everything fine. Essentially, the population is the problem. And
it's always the people.
Right. And so I understand the costs that are needed to put forth a case. I have a hard time when a utility company is making $288 million and people are having to make a decision between eating or turning on their AC. And we don't live in a state where AC is optional.
For sure.
You have to have it on. And it costs more if you turn it off. It's better to just leave it on.
Yeah. So the Arizona Corporation Commission, I went on their website, and their mission statement, it's just one paragraph, because a lot of people on there listening to us may not even know who they are or what they do. The Arizona Corporation Commission's mission is to power Arizona's future by ensuring safe, reliable, and affordable utility service, growing Arizona's economy as we help local entrepreneurs achieve their dream of starting a business, modernizing an efficient, effective, and responsive government agency. The protecting of Arizona citizens by enforcing an ethical securities marketplace. The five commissioners elected to the Corporation Commission oversee executive, legislative, and judicial proceedings on behalf of Arizonans when it comes to their water, electricity, telephone, natural gas resources, as well as regulations, as you discussed, of securities, pipeline, and railroad safety. So in reference to that, does the Arizona Corporation Commission have... Do they trump the judicial, executive, and legislative branches in the state? Can they override things that are passed? Do they have control over that? Are they above?
They're all equal. So it's described as the fourth arm of government here in Arizona. So they're supposed to be the check and balance. So even if they decide something, legislative can go and create a new law to overturn it. The governor can veto. They're
okay.
supposed to be there, but for when you read that, what I hear is their mandate is to advocate for the citizen.
Okay, so what I'm saying is when somebody like the text that we had has a case, mm-hmm. that they bring a case forward to increase rates, and you, if you're in the Corporation Commission as a commissioner, agree with the rate increase and pass it, does the executive, legislative, and judicial branches, can they supersede that? Can they veto what you guys would theoretically be doing?
There's no direct, kind of like when Congress passes something and then goes to the president and he can veto it or not.
Okay.
There's nothing direct like that. They would have to, kind of like if the Supreme Court passes something and now we have precedents, Congress can go and create a law to undo that precedent. So there's not a direct line.
I get that.
But there's
my concern is we got. I think we have another.
Yeah,
text.
We do.
But real quick, what I'm concerned with is with the political schism and divide that we have in our country. If the Corporation Commission, five commissioners, agree or disagree on a policy issue, and it just gets stopped in either the judicial, executive, or legislative branch, can say, no, we don't agree, bye. And then another one gets put in by the legislative branch, and then you guys say, no, we don't agree with it, bye. I mean, are there open battles?
I actually witnessed kind of a power grab, and it was done very politely. One of the members in the legislature said, hey, you handle the siting for the utilities. Give that up. Give it to the legislature.
And so there's compromise.
No, it was a power
demand.
Grab.
It was a demand.
Yeah, but it was done very nicely. But you're having to watch that stuff. I think one of the problems with the ACC is if you go to the website and click on their docket, it's court papers. So even if the common person wants to be involved, they go there, and what they get is 80 pages of legal.
And nobody reads through it,
Yeah. And so
mumbo-jumbo, effectively.
There's not clarity of what's going on.
Well, we have a text we want to get to.
Yeah, it says, have your guests explain time of use charge, and they said that they believe that is what I'm reading as the demand charge.
Peak usage.
Yeah, it's kind of like Uber, like how they change their prices. You're paying.
So it costs more between 9 to 5.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So the arguments is that if we had more renewable resources, that'd be less.
It says the demand charge per kilowatt is $14.67. So that's so much money. And so this one little fee is $861.42 for my bill for this 1 month.
So I went through Tucson Electric Power's financials. Some of those fees, they stated in their financial filings with the Security and Exchange Commission that they're going to get rid of them, but still charge them on your bill to recoup $22 million.
And how do they do that? It's real simple. They put it in a slot that you're not expecting. So if you have one category of a upcharge fee, or it'll just one day be bigger.
Well, this varies a lot between the states, and I do have a unique perspective because I do own a home and a business in another state, which is the state of Oregon. Okay. So I have a power bill from another restaurant, incomparable in size, and it's half of what it is here. And that's it's the fees is my biggest issue here. I mean, if my taxes and fees are more than double than what I'm using, this is, and I'm just one voice. I'm just one girl trying to make it here. And so all these people out here, you know, 14% increase, is that going to be another fee, FIFO, FUM fee? Or is it going to be
rate charges?
Is it going to just another? That's just so much.
I agree with you. But you know, kind of going to where is the solution? We need people.
Well, let's look at other people, other states, maybe that are doing a better job than us. Texas is the number one producer, and in North Dakota, to have a power it's only 11 cents per kilowatt there for the people.
One of the problems, it's mentioning Texas, is that's our number one source of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we import natural gas instead of using what we have here, you know, as far
and
as
fees
solar
and costs involved.
And there's interchange fees.
There's coal and wind that they use in North Dakota to bring their fees down.
We have the ability to do wind in northern Arizona, and there was a contract. There's been some hiccups because the ACC establishes mile markers for which sorts of energy we're going to. There was a contract to export the wind energy to California.
Well, windmills are you talking about windmills? Because that is as far
wind turbines, I think, would be
of all of the ways to produce energy, that's not the most efficient.
So, but your restaurant in Oregon.
Yes.
You say the bill's about half.
Mm-hmm.
what would you say the difference on annual temperatures are, for example, from Oregon to here?
Right. Well, okay, so you take a month that's similar in temperatures outside and compare that way.
And
I'm still
that?
At half the price. Yes.
Well, that's sad.
It is sad. In Arizona, it's just so different here in so many different and every state is so different.
Yeah.
And I did compare and contrast, you know, the different states. Arizona didn't even show up anywhere on contributing to energy as far as
the
top.
We consume.
We
import.
And what about the dams? Are we getting any energy off of those?
The water levels are
historically
getting so
low.
That I think I was reading that if they ran like Hoover Dam, it would burn out the engines because it's not enough water.
They don't even produce much energy at all anymore. You've got turbines, for example, in Lake Mead that have been not used for 10 years.
Well, common sense just means the desert, you know, we have sunshine, we should use it more.
Well, we're going to go on another break here and we'll get back to our wonderful topic and our great guests and people here. KNTR Talk Radio, Common Ground, 106.75 and 3.
Voice of the Free.
That's true.
I love this song. She's playing my favorite song. I'm already jamming to Carly Beer. Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Marissa, what do you got?
All right, going to give a shout out to our last two sponsors that make Common Ground possible to bring to you. Starting with Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes. Celebrating 40 years of doing right by folks one happy driver at a time. Off East Andy Devine in Kingman. And lastly, we have Neat Pool and Supply, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they've got everything for pools and spas. Family-owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu. It's where your backyard oasis begins, located at 52 Scott Drive.
All right. Thank you, Marissa. And you can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call us in at 928-854-5687. Speaking of which, we do have another text. It says, Arizona sends a lot of power to California. Cut that off, and I bet our prices will go down.
Well,
are we selling it
to
California?
We had a great profit.
We should be selling it. We're not just sending it.
Giving it, yeah.
Selling it. So it's a lot of revenue on there. If we were just giving it away, I'd be against it.
All right, speaking of being against things,
okay.
So the 14% thing, you know, the commissioners, if this proposal in front of them is to raise the rates another 14% fee, whatever, why would anybody say yes to that?
I think the argument is that, you know, kind of like it was mentioned, the power companies are arguing that they have to put so much money out that they need the 14% to meet their targets.
They can't take some of it from their $280 million profit from last year to
nobody would agree to a rate increase just in common sense, but at the same time, the commission doesn't have the right to lower costs. They get proposals in front of them, and they're never going to see one that says, hey, we're going to drop costs today. It's not going to happen.
So one of the reasons, though, is so it's not just the power companies that can file with the ACC. Any one of us can file a case against the ACC to say, lower these costs. We're just
what
so...
What control do you have? What control would the Corporation Commission have to get a vote? And let's say all five vote for a 10% rate decrease. At that point, where does that go? It goes to the legislature, correct?
Well, it will if they choose to overturn it. But,
correct.
But let's
judicial.
Let's be very honest. We're coming up on another election cycle, so it's interesting to see there's a group of us that will be at the ACC meeting tomorrow, because I think one of the problems is a lot of people don't even know the ACC exists.
Correct.
And so we want the room to be filled just to say, we're watching. Because the political cycle is coming up, and so maybe decisions do start favoring
citizens and small businesses. That's the thing, is they are so in favor of supporting businesses, but I think small businesses get lost in that. It's always these huge corporations. I'll play this card. Our power companies aren't even American here. They're Canadian. So we're sending all this money to Canadian conglomerates. It's not staying here.
Well, you mentioned small businesses.
Yeah. So frustrating because we don't have a choice.
Right.
Every area in Arizona is a monopoly. And that's why when we talk about their operations, you have a monopoly, a government-given monopoly. Find a way to make it work.
Right.
Is how I
so
look at it.
The commission, that once we have another text, so we'll get to that in a second. But real quick, the Corporation Commission, you mentioned about helping local businesses and entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. How does the Corporation Commission, in their daily duties, how do they help or petition to help local business? What areas can they address to make the transition from a person who wants to start a business to an open business?
So they are who you file with to start an LLC or an S-Corp. They should be watching out, and they do, because they just found some fraud and they filed a case against that. But they, I think there's, in general, there's this preference for serving the needs of large corporations
okay.
and forgetting about the restaurants, the donut shops.
Right, and that's what, kind of what I'm getting at. So I'm a local business owner. Yeah. I have another local business owner across from me. The only interaction I have with the Corporation Commission is when I file for my LLC renewal and my licensing renewals and things of that nature. But I don't see any ways that they can help me other than rubber stamping documents.
I think the power and the utility case is exactly where they can help.
Perfect. We have a text?
Yeah, we got a couple texts in.
Let's do it.
I don't have my fact checker with me, so I don't know. You know, I'm just, but this is a good one here. It says, fun fact, the CEO of UNS, TEP, and UES makes around $1.6 million. The ex-CEO, Howe, is now the CEO of Fortis, the owner of TEP and UES, the Canadian company, had a compensation of $16 million. Interesting.
So
that's quite a high salary.
I cannot verify that, and for this reason.
I can't either.
They do not, which they're supposed to by law, post their executive compensation in their annual filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
So we have another one here that says wind turbines are considered efficient with a conversion rate of 20 to 40%. I have a question. What is the cheapest or most efficient way for us to make power?
It would be solar.
Solar?
Yeah.
We're going to be the number one solar state in the country very shortly. They're building fields upon fields.
And are we the people going to feel any of that kickback, or are we going to be the ones that are getting the paying for it while all of the money is going to Canada?
So this is complicated. And in that, I agree with you. If we're saving money, we should get that back. But at least in Tucson, one of the reasons I didn't install solar was, as a consumer, there's a fee that gets added on if you have solar. They charge you for not using them. And as a consumer, I can't bite down on
we
that.
We need another power company. We need options.
It's never going to happen.
Why?
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
You would need, so there's this thing called the Certificate of Necessity and Convenience, and that grants every company their monopoly in their area. It also exempts, on certain clauses, oversight from the Attorney General. So what you would need is you would need the legislature to say, we're going to open this up. Now, that doesn't necessarily make it any better, because
another conglomerate is just going to come.
They're the only ones that
only can afford to do it. And the reason why it will never happen, Melissa, why there'll never be competition, it's real simple. The lobby is so strong. The amount of people and advocates they have that are working directly for these large conglomerates, let's just be honest, they bribe, they cajole, hey, your wife has a cookbook out, we're going to buy 20,000 copies. It's just the way the world works now, and there's no way around it, honestly.
So one of the arguments that Tucson Electric makes is that they're so good for the community because they give 1% of their profits, but they also give 5% to lobbying efforts.
That's right.
I don't feel like I'm going out on a major limb saying that they're probably lobbying for their interests and not ours. The other options, and you mentioned it before, and we're working on this in Tucson, is community power.
A like non-profit where you give it back to we the people if we overpay.
So
and just
that would be
why
great.
Can't we do that?
But I no, and I agree.
You know
with
where I'm going to go with this.
So one of the things I push with that, even though I'm part of the movement down in Tucson, is okay. Let's say we get someone in charge and it's awesome, and the person after that is awesome, and the person after that is awesome. What if the person after that is not?
It tears it all back down.
Yeah.
Here's the reality of the way things work in the real world. Money begets money, power begets power, and the keeping and controlling and maintaining of those of that power is the all-consuming effort of these companies, and it's all-consuming effort of most politicians. What is their number one job? To get reelected. What is the number one job of large corporations? To become larger.
Yeah.
You know,
and we do have the example with SRP. And so I was just at a meeting yesterday about them. So they're a nonprofit. ACC does not have any say in what they do. But they're voted, and now there's fighting on, it's very political. There's different political factions fighting to take over seats. And it's also designed, you don't get, it's not one vote per person, it's one vote per acreage owned. And all those people are on the board currently. So I'm all for community power, and I'm moving towards it, but it's not a we just saved the world. It's, okay, let's start getting ready for the next set of problems that come along.
It's more, I hate to be the naysayer, but I agree with you, Melissa, that we need something like that. But if I was to put a hard line guess on it, a minimum of a generation before we have any substantive impact.
Right.
On the costs and the change in the community. So
what I would suggest for everyone, regardless of where you lie politically, contact the ACC. Contact your representative, like in the legislature. Contact the governor, whatever. Let them know that you're paying attention now. Because the ACC is what we call down ballot. Most people don't even vote for it, which I don't get. Like, you're voting anyways, might as well fill in everything.
Yeah.
Let them know we're paying attention. Let them know we're watching.
We've done that. I've attended multiple city council meetings. We'd had the discussion before the show started with people just pulling their hair out with frustration over the cost of their utility bills. And the same line came because they don't get the message week after week that other people are addressing this on the open forum in the city council. The mayor, the city council members, anyone in the city or county level has zero control over the utility costs here locally. They defer to the ACC. Now, we can petition the ACC. We can let them know we're watching. But pragmatically speaking, I don't see any net effect of that because you have a full agenda if you're in that council. You're a commissioner. You've got a full docket of things to go over every day. You don't have the time or the effort to look at every email, every single thing that comes in.
I'll push back a little on that.
Please do.
You know who else has zero control is we the people.
And that's
a
problem.
We have no choice.
That's a problem.
I have no control over that. I have to pay it or I don't have it. I'm out. And I do have another text here. It says the conversion rate for solar is 15% to 24%. And then I have another one that says nonprofit is a great idea if it worked as it sounds. What or who would monitor a salary cap? Look at United Way, especially 1992.
Well,
see, then that's what you were saying about the bad people. Like you get a bad people in there.
Always going to have a bad actor show up.
And how do we control salaries in a foreign country? It can't happen.
Yeah.
We have no laws to dictate.
So to come back to salary though, and not so every council person on the commissioner on the ACC gets a policy advisor and an assistant. They also get a $120,000 paycheck. So when you say, hey, check your email. It's not like I'm volunteering. I'm getting 120. I'm going to check my email.
Gotcha. Well, listen, we're going to wrap up this last segment, and then we're going to, before our final segment here, and here on KNTR Talk Radio, Common Ground, 106.75 and 3.
Voice of the free.
Voice of the free.
Welcome back to Common Ground, right here live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. We are here with Scott Goodman and Derek. He's still jamming out to the music. Yeah.
He's rocking out
yeah.
here.
So we've been talking about the power bills and all of the frustrations. And thank you guys for your texting in it at 928-727-5566. We really appreciate all the text messages that we've gotten today. And any solutions?
So there is one out that I've been looking into more. It's called aggregate power. So essentially your neighborhood gets together and says, this is what we want. So let's just say solar.
Right.
And then you're almost like your own little neighborhood nonprofit. Either we can use it to upgrade or we can give dividends back. And let's say the next neighborhood's like, no, we hate solar. We want nothing to do with it. They're on coal and paying whatever rates they get from that. The benefit to that is, let's say the solar grid goes down, you're just a neighborhood away from your friends that can let you use their AC. And so it's not perfect, but it's just the direction to start looking at.
I like the idea. Unfortunately, from a logistical standpoint, it's never going to work. You have a town of 50,000 people, and you got a neighborhood of 100 people wants to do one thing, 50 wants to do another. And then they have to retool all of the transmission.
So that's where the power company still gets to make money. So it's not cutting them out. So they're still making money, maybe not the $280
million.
Who
is going to pay to transition and convert those neighborhoods? See what I'm saying? There's going to be some inherent cost that somebody has to absorb.
Another fee.
I think without the fee, because I really hate those fees, like, I think if a neighborhood wants to go kind of off, right now it's illegal to go off grid. You do not have the
What?
You do not have the ability by law to just say, hey, I have solar, I have water, I'm going to disconnect.
Unless it's
way.
You can do it in county land.
It's illegal? Like you're going to get arrested?
They'll fine you.
And there, I know some people that are off grid, and depending where they live, the city's like whatever.
You mean like a generator? Is that what you're saying? Like it's illegal to just run your stuff off a generator?
You by law have to connect.
You have to be part of the system.
Yeah.
So what? But hold on, Melissa. The look on your face.
I know.
So
county.
What?
County land.
Collecting rainwater. I can't live in a teepee.
Some cities you cannot. Tucson, you're not allowed to collect rainwater. It's against law. It's their water.
So listen. I know you're just shaking.
Wow.
Your head. But like for all the people building in Yucca, for example, they have grid capable and non capable. They have areas that it's not cost effective to run cable wiring to the power poles, and maybe 5 miles away. You have people living on $60,000 worth of lithium batteries, a half an acre of solar, two 2,500 gallon tanks for water, and 300-foot wells, and that's how they live. But in the city, what he is saying, what Derek is saying, that the city can object to it because they paid for the infrastructure for the grid. So they expect to receive some remuneration for the expense that they incurred by giving you the option of having and the ability to have power. So let's just say everyone wanted to walk away and go off the grid. They would go broke. They're not going to collect their city fees. They're not going to be utility companies.
Well, you just said something there that the city paid for it. Where did the city get the money from? Oh, yeah, me.
Taxes.
Yeah.
Well, no.
We the people.
Oh, no.
So we paid for it.
I get it. I'm on your side. I'm on the same page with you, but I'm looking at it from the perspective. I can wear both hats. I'm looking at perspective from the city and from the county, from the state, from the utilities. They're saying, hey, look, we spent all this money on infrastructure, and we want to get our money back. And where did they get the money? From collecting taxes from tax-paying people like us.
And we need 14% more we can get more money.
Mm-hmm. You know what they could do to make things a lot easier? How about getting rid of all these small, onerous little fees and just tacking on to how much a kilowatt you pay? If it was just a straight kilowatt charge, for example, if your bill was $4,000 and all it said was $4,000 X amount of kilowatts, here's your bill. with no...
Then I wouldn't realize that $1,500 is what I actually used and that $2,500 is going in taxes and fees.
If you saw your bill and never knew that those other fees existed, you would be...
Most people just want to pay their bill.
They want to pay their
bill. I'm just so mad about it. I'm not that person.
Yeah, but most people are lemmings. Most people are just going to just walk blindly off the cliff. I mean, that's just the reality of the world we live in. If they got a straight bill, that's how they would look at it and say, this is what I pay.
You're a unique individual looking at that. Restaurant owner. Plus, I'm from the bottom. Saved my tips for 9.5 years to buy my first restaurant. So people come in and they scrutinize my bill. They're like, what'd you charge that extra sour cream, man? It's 95 cents.
I saw someone returning something yesterday to get 71 cents.
So, listen, we got a couple minutes before we have to get off air.
I am not alone in this.
But the common ground as you spoke of on the break, it's not hard to find common ground on hating utility bills and being charged so much to exist in our city and in the world. The things that are not common ground for us sitting at this table is I'm more pro-business. I hate the utility bills. But at the same time, I'm also aware of the inherent massive costs to allow us the ability to have power. People take it for granted that we could turn our light switch on. We have power.
Yeah.
You know, and what does it take to do that? All those utility trucks driving around town? All those people? So
I'm just saying...
Well, we need oversight.
No 14%. Let's just keep it. We agree on that.
Common ground that we don't need to. We need to analyze where the money
absolutely
is going.
So vote no on what is that? What is we don't even know yet.
Yeah, it's a it's not even on the docket. We're keeping an eye on it. I do want to say that the state did just start from federal money, just start a program called HERE that people can look into if they need money to upgrade their appliances or anything in their house.
There's funds for that.
Because someone asked me, what's the cheapest rate of power? The power you don't use. And so,
Well, think of it this way. The people who use less power on their solar systems and have a credit, maybe that money could be used to help support some people in the community who can't afford power.
Or maybe some of that $280 million they walked away from. They just cut the payback on 50%.
Oh, no,
they didn't. Yes, did they really?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's been a great show. We appreciate you coming
in.
You drove 200 miles for this?
I'd do it again.
Well, we might have you on again.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you being here. And thank you for listening to Common Ground on 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the free.
We'll catch you
here
next
Tuesday.
This is KNTR Talk KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.